Salam and good evening to you, worthy friend. Please, please, come closer.
Too close, a little too close.
Hello and welcome to this edition of the Disney Brit Podcast for Wednesday the 13th of October. Welcome once again. So what have we got for you on this show? Well, we've got our usual news and rumours, of which Craig and Juz are going to join me. We've got our Disney Daily Diary. We didn't put it in the last show, so we're going to put it in this show. We're then going to bring you a little bit of audio from our radio show that we're doing. Let you know a little bit about that. The Destination Disney radio show we do on Heartbeat Radio in Orlando. We're going to bring you one of our what we call Red Box Conversations, and then we're going to move on to Disney on Ice. We're going to bring you a review and interview from Disney on Ice, as well as some reviews that you guys have sent in. So that's really about it, and without any further ado, let's get on with this edition of the Disney Brit Podcast.
Columbus Vacation Villas, Central Florida Vacation Home Rentals and Property Management Services. If you are looking for your perfect vacation villa, get in touch with this friendly family-run business, which will go out of their way to make sure your vacation of a lifetime is just that. If you already own a villa in Orlando, then let Columbus take care of everything whilst you are away, giving you complete peace of mind. Check out www.columbus-vacations.com and discover a new world.
Welcome to the news and rumours for this edition of the show, and joining me as always is the wonderful Juz. Hello, Juz.
Hello, hello, Disney Pod people.
Yeah, Juz isn't here. We'll explain why Juz isn't here in a second. But Craig's here, aren't you, Craig?
Hello, everyone. And I can now say, hello, Disney Pod people. So, to Juzzy Bear.
Juz is away with work on a course this week. He's hooked up in some travel lodge with a train station by the side and some loud jobs outside, and has really naff Wi-Fi and really doesn't have any sort of connection. So we've got no Juzzy this week, which means that we should be able to get through this without him moaning, grumping, just being generally miserable.
You know what makes me laugh, though, Adam? He's in Windsor, which is quite south for him.
Yeah.
And he's going, oh, I'm down south. It's horrible down south. And I'm thinking, oh, dearie me, Juz.
He's even brought his passport down with him because he thought he had to cross the border.
Change of money, everything. I did give him a few things. I said, when you go into work, you got to call everyone mate.
Yeah.
Okay. And you just got to say, when it's all done, yeah, sorted. And he'll be all right.
Yeah, governor.
That's and he was trying, he just said, shine your shoes, governor. And I went, no, it's not Oliver Twist land you've come to, Juz. You've just come, to the south.
Bless him. But, we can say what we like about him, because he doesn't actually listen to the show. Therefore, he'll never know the nasty things that we say. So it's all good. But before we get on with the Disney news, we've got some Disney Brit stuff we want to go through with you guys. To start off with, as you know, we had both Complete Orlando and Attraction Tickets Direct as our sponsors for, nearly 2 years. And they've decided that they're not going to sponsor the show anymore, but we have a brand new sponsor. Well, I say brand new to the Disney Brit Podcast, but not brand new to us guys, and that is Columbus Vacation Villas, who are based out in Orlando. These guys are absolutely fantastic. I know, Craig, you deal with them a lot, don't you?
Well, this is quite personal for me, because they live down my road and they look after my pool and have done for 4 years. Okay. So You know, they're really nice people, and you know, a nice kind of family. They're very much a company that have always been in the travel business. They're in the travel business in the UK before moving out to Orlando. They have been very, very successful. They manage a lot of properties and have got some, you know, they've gone about it a good way. They've got some good contacts with some travel agencies, and a really nice family. So Laura, Hugh, Derek, and Diane, Columbus Vacation Villas. They've got some great properties as well. And if you've got a villa over there, they'll do all bits and bobs. You can, you know, I just have them do my pool, but you can have them manage your house, do your grass, do everything.
And it's great, really, because they sponsor us, they sponsor Ireland Orlando, and also last year sponsored Mousemeats as well. So talk about synergy. I don't think we really can get any more synergistic than that. You can find them at www.columbus-vacations.com. They are great, lovely people. So thank you to them for continuing to sponsor all the things that we do. Also, the last edition of the podcast, we mentioned the new Disney Knights of the Disney Brit Roundtable. Which basically the way it works is if you email us at podcast@disneybrit.com and tell us that somebody introduced you to the podcast, then what we do is we put that person onto our wall of fame, I suppose, on our forum. And also we're going to be setting up a web page specifically for those people. And we've had several emails which we wanted to read out to you very, very quickly. And the first one was... from a guy called Spencer. It says, "Hi guys, just heard the request for new listeners to get in touch with details of who introduced them. My personal example is none other than Simon Price. He is your theme tune fame. I have no idea what his username is on the site, but I know that he would be delighted to get a Knights tag, whatever else it is see fit to bestow upon him. He has helped keep me sane over the last few years with care packages from home, and I would love it if he went a little way to paying him back. Do I need to get his username off of it? I won't go all into that, but he says, either way, keep up the good work, boys. You make my already lovely walks with my boxer, Logan, even greater." And that's from Spencer. So, Simon Price, we have to thank him for introducing people. We also have to thank him for something else as well, don't we?
Oh, we do, yes, yes. Well, you know, I came out pretty good on this. Simon... very kindly. Let's say why we wanted this, Adam. For this Destination D radio
show. It is, yeah.
For the website, we wanted to have... Jazz has put a kind of temporary website up because he's our web guru, even though you're learning to do all of this, Adam. But we're going to have a really cool website eventually, and we wanted to have some sort of kind of uniqueness about us. And because Nick's on the show and you've all been bored to tears like we have with these craze for Vinylmations, we thought it'd be very funny if Vinylmations were drawn of us four. And Simon is not only a brilliant musician, he's also a very, very talented sketch artist, and he has sketched some fantastic Vinylmations and had them coloured and drawn. In fact, I haven't got the email open, but he did ask us to thank some people, and we will do that on the radio show. Simon, we'll thank all the people that helped you with that and the forums and everywhere else. But there's a great Vinylmation of me with my glasses on, one of Adam, a very, very funny one of Juz, who looks like Twiggy from the Royal Family, and a really cool one of Nick. And they really do look, when you see us in person and you see these Vinylmations, he's really done great characters.
And we really are that round and that fat as well, which is also
and we do all the way with Mickey ears.
But if you go over to Facebook, you can find them all, because we put them all up on our Facebook profiles, which is cool, yes, as well. So thank you, Simon, for that. Next listener was Lorraine. Has sent us an email to say, "Hi, I'm a new listener to the podcast. I was recommended to the podcast by Emma Gould." So she's gone to the list. Thank you. "Hi guys, it's Tracy here. Please will you make my hubby Lee a knight, as he is one who got me listening and laughing to your fabulous podcast. You know he will just bug us all if you don't. Anyway, that is all for now. Keep up the good work." That's from Tracy. So Lee, you are also on there as well. "Hi, just to say thanks to Barry Gornall for recommending Disney Brit podcast to me. Really good listening material. Thanks again." That's from Helen as well. And there was one other thing that I completely forgot about. When I went down to the Milton Keynes store opening back in about 3 weeks ago or so, I was standing in the queue waiting for the store to open, and I got a tap on the shoulder from somebody who basically said, "Hello, listen to your show, love it, do keep up the good work, got to go." And then just disappeared. And I have no idea who this person was. And I completely forgot. I was going to say that if they could send us an email to let us know who they were, then we would happily announce who they were on the radio show. And that's absolutely fine. And, yes, I got an email. Just says, hi guys, just wanted to say, keep up the good work. My fiance and I briefly met Adam while he was in the queue for Milton Keynes' store opening during the other week. Unfortunately, we couldn't stick around, but I rather hurriedly passed on my best wishes, leaning over the other people and no doubt interrupting whatever he was doing at the time. I was doing absolutely nothing at the time, which is fine. Anyway, as I say, thanks for the great work. The podcast really helps keep me going between trips to Walt Disney World and has been particularly helpful recently as we are in the middle of preparing for our wedding. We leave on the 22nd of October for 21 nights at the Beach Club and we'll be getting married at the Wedding Pavilion on the 28th. Can't come soon enough. Thanks for everything you do. And that was from David. So, congratulations, David. You know, it's only a few days till you get married, which is cool.
Did he put my invite in there as well? Because I'll be there on the 28th.
No, I don't think he did. There you go. You just want to email Craig, come to your wedding. Yeah. He'll come and do your photos.
Yeah, as long as
you're in front of the castle. He can take a great photo for you. So there you go. There were all the emails we got. So let's get on with some Disney news then, shall we? Because we bored everybody enough with all the Disney Brit stuff.
Well, now we have all of our nights. Yes,
we have all of our nights. Oh, and there's one other night we forgot to mention, actually. So we've got Simon Price, Emma Gold, Barry Gunnell, Lee Mallaby, and also on the bottom, Craig Lucas. Now, the reason we put Craig on is Craig is a brilliant guy. He does a lot of sort of, not marketing, but putting stuff on Twitter and things like that, letting people know about it. He is constantly posting stuff on Twitter about us and all the forums and things like that. Brilliant guy. He set up the Disney Brit League and the Iron Orlando League for the Premier League stuff, and has been trying to help us with as much as possible. So we put Craig Lucas on there as well. So thank you.
Well done, Craig. Thank you very much.
And I want free train tickets now. okay. So let's head in some Disney news then. And Craig, why don't you start us off?
Well, we've had Knights. We'll now go to Pirates and Jack Sparrow, who's going back to school. Hollywood actor Johnny Depp has surprised school children in Greenwich when he made a shock appearance as Captain Jack Sparrow. Depp's visit came after 9-year-old pupil Beatrice DeLapp wrote to his alter ego asking him to help raise a mutiny against her teachers at Meriden Primary School in Greenwich, South East London. In the letter, the youngster wrote, "We are a bunch of budding young pirates and we're having trouble mutinying against the teachers. We'd love it if you can come and help." Now, during the school visit, Depp, dressed as Captain Sparrow, spent 15 minutes performing pirate songs and dancing in front of pupils with four other cast members from the Pirates of the Caribbean on Stranger Tides. Now, the 47-year-old had broken off from his filming of the latest installment at nearby Old Naval College. During his visit, he called Beatrice to the front and gave the youngster a hug. Beatrice told the reporters he pulled the letter out of his pocket and said he was going to frame it. A message posted on the school website later added, "Alas, there was no walking of the planks or adventures on the high seas, but we have all had a lesson on how to clean our teeth the pirate way." I wonder what that is. There was too much excitement with your finger, probably. Arr! There was too much excitement to think about taking over the school. So instead, the children all sang their own pirate songs to great applause. Captain Jack even danced along. Now, the acting head teacher, Joe Graham, said of the surprise visit, "We just want to thank Johnny Depp because it was a fantastic opportunity for the children and a good example of the child's determination to do something and not just talk about it. We encourage children to write to a real audience, and this just goes to show it can reap great rewards." Lovely story.
Isn't it? How great is that? This 9-year-old just literally wrote a letter and sent it down with thinking, you know, like a 9-year-old does, yeah, he'll come, he'll read it and he'll come. And then he actually did, which is amazing. And for those of you who listen to this as a teachers, these are the sort of days when you want Ofsted in, right?
Yes.
How cool would that be? Ofsted come into assembly. Oh, that's really Johnny Depp. Okay, all right, that's fine. We'll give you an outstanding, off we go.
Outstanding tick.
Yeah. That's awesome. It's truly amazing. I feel like I need to go and write him an email now and say that he needs to come to my school. That would be.
I wonder if I can write a letter to Cheryl Cole to come to work to cheer me up. Can we try now?
I'm not convinced that's going to work, but there you go. But I thought it was quite a nice story, so I thought we'd include that. Okay, let's head over to some Disney US news. We're going to start off in Downtown Disney. Got a couple of bits of news for you. To start off with, Disney are holding a benefit sale for United Way. It's going to be happening on Saturday, November the 6th, between 5:30 and 9:30 a.m., which will feature discounts of up to 50 to 75% off selected merchandise at many of the participating Downtown Disney locations. Access is going to be limited, A special voucher will be required for entry and can be purchased in advance for $5 from the HFUW or from local participating non-profit agencies. All of the proceeds for the sales are going directly to the United Way and 94 health and human service programmes that need the support, with 50 social agencies throughout Orange, Osceola and Seminole County. A preview of many of things are over at www.thebenefitsale.com. They're going to be launching some new Vinylmation bits and pieces there as well. But on the November the 6th, shoppers with vouchers will be given a wristband to gain access to the sale, and you will be required admission to downtown Disney merchandise locations during those particular hours. That's 5:30 to 9:30. Vouchers are required for those aged 12, aren't required, sorry, for those aged 12 and under, and you can purchase your vouchers www.hfuw.org or thebenefitsale.com. I think this is really cool. I don't think I remember Disney have ever done this before, have they?
And I'm not sure. I think this might be a new thing for them. But, you know, it's a really good way of raising money. And there's some really cool bargains and things on there. It's like, I mean, it's just things like 20% off Earl of Sandwich. Yeah. So my view was they can start doing sausage and bacon sandwiches in the morning, get down there at 5:30, set yourself up for then a trip in World of Disney.
Yeah, definitely. And there's sort of like 40, 50% off board games and all that sort of stuff. You know, there's big discounts to be had on a lot of this stuff. So go and support a local charity. And if you are around there, get yourself down there and go and enjoy that. Okay, Craig, a bit more downtown Disney?
Yeah, I think you all might need to take a seat for this one.
Oh, here we go.
Right, because it's... Yeah, it could be one of them. Okay, so this is about Ride Makers, which I don't know if you've... Did you go into Ride Makers?
I did. I spent quite a bit of time in Ride Makers.
Yeah, so we went into Ride Makers. Well, this is a bit of news that's come out that finally, and I don't know why it's taken them so long, but you can now get the car's characters as Ride Makers. You can get Sally Mater and Lightning McQueen. Now, each car is $35. Now, I went in there with the kids when we were over there in August, and, you know, I learned a little bit about Ride Makers, which is, you know, owned by the Build-A-Bear people, and they've got a Build-A-Bear and they've got Build-A-Dino from T-Rex, which are great. And they're a fantastic franchise, and they, you know, they work brilliantly wherever you are. So we go in to get them a car. They're going to share a car because they're quite expensive, and they pick a Mustang, really cool Mustang, and they get the wheels for it and the rims, and you pick a sound and all of those things, and you go up to the kind of the counter, and the guy starts to build it, and then he says to me, "Would you want it remote control?" And I went, "Well, all around the store, people are driving remote control ones. Yeah, of course we want it remote control." And he said, "Oh, we haven't got any of the remote control bits." "Well, what do you mean? We haven't got the engines. You can just have a push along." "Well, what's the point of a push along car? He wants a remote control car." "Okay, well, when are they in?" "Oh, we won't have any until November." "Oh, we can ship it to you." "Well, how's that going to help? You're going to build it now." Anyway, long story. I said, "So how much is it to have it remote control?" So the car that Kieran and Alex picked and with the bits in was about $45, which was a lot. It was then another $50 to have it remote control. So we politely said no. Kieran was all right about it because I took him to Walmart and bought him one for $20. Exactly, there's near enough exactly the same. So I just think the point about Ride Makers, that $35 to me should include a remote control engine, and this doesn't. So this will be just the car, the chassis, and then if you want to remote control it, you've then got to pay more.
Yeah.
Which I think then becomes very, very expensive.
They are very expensive, I must admit. They're not particularly cheap, but these Maters would be cool because I've not seen really a Mater that's that sort of size. We've got a Lightning McQueen that's a similar sort of size here.
You get a big Lightning McQueen, can't you? Yeah,
I've seen. But I've not seen a big Mater, and Harry would love a big Mater, but that would be quite cool. But yeah, it is expensive, but they are now available. I think Disneyland and Walt Disney World are doing them. They are, interestingly, they're not over, obviously there isn't any stores in the UK. There's small Ride Makers areas in the Disney stores in the US, but over in the UK, because Ride Makers hasn't made it over here yet, they haven't got any of those sections over here. But it'd be interesting to see whether Ride Makers eventually makes it over to UK Disney stores as well. Right, so let's do some park news then. And this is something that was really intriguing. We've sort of discuss this a little bit on the Destination Disney Radio show. We wanted to talk about it a little bit more here because we get a chance to sort of talk a little bit more because we're not really time constrained. And that's to do with the possible next gen experience that could be coming to Walt Disney World as part of the RFID technologies. Now, an email was sent out with a survey on a few weeks ago with regards to possible experiences people can enjoy while in the parks that will basically use RFID technology. You pay for the story, so to speak, and this story also comes with unlimited photo and video package for your entire vacation, but this story happens one day when you're in the theme parks. You choose the day you want to do it, and there are a list of all sorts. So on Destination Disney we gave you three scenarios. Today I'm going to give you three different scenarios, but The stories can include one for Epcot, there's a Hollywood Studios Be a Star, there's a romance one in the Magic Kingdom, there's a Haunted Kingdom one for the Magic Kingdom, there's Toy Story Maniacs, obviously, for Hollywood Studios, there's the Animal Kingdom Expedition, Pirate Adventure in the Magic Kingdom, Great Taste in Epcot, and then finally, in the Magic Kingdom, A Princess Fairy Tale. So just going to give you three very quick ones about how this works. So there's an at-home element and an at-the-park element. And this is what Disney is sort of saying. Are people interested in this or whether they're going to take it ahead? So the Animal Kingdom Expedition. Before you go, you pay for this, and at home you will enjoy a welcome from the experts, and you get a personalised video from the animal services expert. So they will send you a video to tell you what you're going to be expecting. Then when you get to the park, you receive a personal storybook with your adventures that you have planned for the next day. And then you build an online field book where you can discover the special locations in the park, where you can collect photos and videos and cool animal bits and facts. But then imagine you're in the queue for Expedition Everest, and suddenly your picture appears on the wall outside Expedition Everest as a Yeti expert. And suddenly just appears as this poster.
Yeah.
Or you get a recorded call from Joe Rohde with insights and stories about Animal Kingdom while you're in the park. So these things that could be happening. So that's one thing that could possibly happen. If we head over to Epcot, they have something called Great Tastes, where at home you get an online welcome from Disney World chefs and a food-themed guide for the park and resorts, and that comes with an online journal as well. Then, this sounds cool, at the resort you get a gourmet passport, where you receive a passport where you can collect stamps from around World Showcase after sampling the foods and the drinks, and the nice. Kids get an inside scoop from Remy, who sends info to your child's phone, and you can tailor the info depending on the child's tastes or choices, and you can rate and share dining experiences as well, so you get some food thrown into that one. That sounds a good one to me. Yep. And the final one to let you know about as well, if you were to do the Princess Fairy Tale, the Princess Fairy Tale at home, you can create your perfect princess enchanted locket. But then imagine that you get to the parts and your invitation to meet a princess, or you get a locket at check-in, you receive an invite to meet your favourite princess the next day, and you get a special locket. Or you discover some personalised surprises around Fantasyland. Maybe the fairy godmother appears to wish you well, or you show your locket to a favourite princess and they know about it because they know what's coming. Or the locket interacts when the fireworks or parades go off, and you get photos and videos with Small World doll of you and your family, or maybe some other bits and pieces that come with it as well. So there's loads of really, really cool stuff. But one for an adult, so I just want to very quickly mention before we move on. The Discover Romantic Surprises one, you can create your own personalised map of Magic Kingdom specialising in romantic spots you might want to visit. But then what about your favourite character gives you a special greeting and wishes you love lasting ever after, mm-hmm. or something like that, because nice. They know they're coming. Or you can huddle up close as the hitchhiking ghosts share a personal message as you're on the ride. Or you can use your map to find surprises around the park, like, for example, you go into the side Pooh's tree outside of the Many Adventures to Winnie the Pooh to find your name has been carved inside the tree, obviously done electronically. Or you can get tips or classic lines from movies to your mobile phone as well, or receive a postcard in your room, and all sorts of bits and pieces that can happen that sound really, really great. But there's birthday ones, custom ones, incredible family ones, first timers, Muppets, Spa. There's just literally, these are endless and endless. The unlimited photo video package, you can have 3D photos, high def and slow motion video, instant sharing capabilities via Facebook and Twitter, etc. Digital files of your like paper crafts, Small World dolls, digital pins, virtual badges. The cost though, each story costs $100 and covers your entire trip in every park for your photos and bits and pieces, and also your one sort of story that you get. So $100, so that would, for you then, that would be $400 for one.
Yeah, because like I say, you've got to pay for every member of your family.
Every member. So would you pay $400 for this?
Do you know what? I probably would, because it would be a special occasion, one of a kind. You'd only ever do it once. And I'm really glad that you're talking about this now, because this was on the Destination Disney show that I couldn't attend because I had no internet and a bad back. So I kind of missed out on that. So, I think I was kind of sending you texts with bits of information that I was thinking about this. But, you know, this is kind of, to me, like Kingdom Keepers coming to life. And $400 is a lot, but how much is a Wishes Cruise? How much is an Illuminations Cruise?
That is true.
You know, and you put those, and this is a whole day's worth of experience and memories. And it's just, I just think absolutely awesome. The problem I would have would be picking which one to go for, because you've got to try and please everyone.
And also you've got to take into consideration that although it's $400, you've got an unlimited photo and video package there. So that's almost like your photo pass. So what's photo pass these days? $100 and something?
Well, if you get a CD, you know, it's over $100. So
there you go. So you can take the price of that off. That's $300. Yep. So you're already, and that's a Wishes Cruise. So actually, you know, if you look at it in that sense, it's not as expensive as it first seems.
No. And, you know, and I don't know if they're going to limit these to how many there are a day. It would be quite nice if they do. So there's a little bit of exclusivity about it, and not like where the Kim Possible thing. And you could turn up to do a Kim Possible and there's 15 other people there doing it. So that would be quite nice.
My only concern would be that if it's via mobile phone, and I know it's RFID, so it's slightly different, but whether, you know, people from the UK, et cetera, are going to be able to use it because of there being
roaming
possible
charges and stuff. Yeah, it's a good point, actually. Unless they give you a phone, maybe it's partly
possible, like they do with the Kim Possible. So that's possible as well. Right, there we go. So we're both in agreement that sounds like a good idea, although maybe a little bit expensive. So we've got some refurbs coming up inside Magic Kingdom. So Craig, kick us off.
I will indeed, yeah. So we've got Splash Mountain. Now, this is a ride that you rave and rave about, and to me, it's all right if I'm hot. But but Kieran loves it. But Splash Mountain will be closing for refurbishment in early 2011. It's going to be closed from the 3rd of January until the end of January, the 31st. Now, this may see, we're not sure, but it may see the installation of lap bars that has been in design for some time now. I'm not sure about this, you know, because I've never fallen out of Splash Mountain. I don't know if you have.
I don't think anyone's ever fallen out of Splash Mountain, have they?
So maybe you've got some idiots that are standing up. I know it did have a name of Flash Mountain for a while.
Yes, they actually had to employ a cast member to look through photos before they were put up on the screens, just in case there were people who were flashing.
I wonder if that's, that's a visa job that you could apply for, isn't it? So, you know, we'll see. I mean, you know, I think just Disney maybe been slightly overprotective in the kind of bashing they've had of late. So,
health and safety, isn't it?
If it's for safety, it's not going to take anything away from the ride at all. But do you know what? Actually, what it will do is be quite funny. It will stop Alex and Kieran, who duck completely under the seat
that's
when it goes
very
down.
True. Well, I wonder whether that could be something to do with it as well. Maybe there's been an injury from something like that, and that's going to prevent that from happening.
So now they're going to get wet. Good. Yeah. And another one, there's a restaurant refurb, El Barita y El Ebigo, that has closed for a refurb. Is that good?
That was interesting.
Well, then you do it.
El Pirata y El Perico.
Yeah, well, you can speak Spanish. Close the doors.
Por favor, mantengas alejado de las puertas. Thank you.
The restaurant is usually only used as a seasonal location, but there are no news of this, just a touch-up of paintwork, or if something else is coming. Expect it to be open again in time for Thanksgiving, which I think is, what, end of November?
Sometime in November. I can't remember the exact date, but there we go. It's so two refurbs that are going on there. El Pirata seems to be closed whenever I go down there. It's very rarely open. I think it was open once on my last trip. But so it'd be interesting to see whether they're trying to make this a more permanent location. Are they going to be adding those touch screens like they've now got in Pecos Bills? I don't know. Be interested to see how that works.
They should do, because they work really, really well, didn't they?
They work well. Yeah, we queued very, very little, didn't we, because of having those there. Right, Donald's now got a new permanent meet and greet location in Frontierland. This new set is located right opposite the Diamond Horseshoe and now gives Donald a permanent location for meet and greets. It seems this is the way things are going. The location is set by the river with boxes and barrels as a backdrop. Rivers of America sign hangs above, and the site looks quite generic, actually. It looks really nice, but it looks generic enough so that you can maybe put more than just Donald in front of it. It's not Donald-esque in that sense. So you could, I suppose the Mexico Pavilion one's very, very similar as well. You can alternate some of the characters. It seems that this is the way a lot of these meet and greets are starting to go now, that we've sort of evolved. We've gone from just the, you know, sort of the early 90s, late 80s, early 90s, where characters just roamed the park and you just sort of grabbed them as they were walking around. We went to something like the Toontown Fair style idea, where you lined up and queued for a particular character. And it now seems that it's almost evolving a little bit, that you're now queuing for the characters back in the parks again. So they're not roaming around as such, but yeah, they are visible the whole time that you're there, and they're going to be outside, which I think is quite a nice way of doing it.
But it is, because you know that they're going to be there rather than it being potluck. But there's nothing quite like the excitement of one of your kids spotting somebody and you having to leg it across to join a queue to be told that he's going in 5 minutes, yeah, and he'll be back in half an hour.
Which, of course, does happen in Disneyland Paris, because they still come out and unannounced, and they're still in that sort of situation where they don't have as many meet and greets, although they are apparently going to be opening this new princess meet and greet at the exit to It's a Small World, which would be interesting to see.
Oh, okay.
So the new permanent meet and greet location, currently for Donald, maybe will be used for this as well. On the last show, we mentioned that Rapunzel would be getting a play and greet inside the Magic Kingdom in the area where Storytime with Belle used to be. Well, it seems that Rapunzel and Flynn Rider have been delayed slightly. Maybe she hasn't been able to get her hair down as quickly as she'd like. They were supposed to be coming on the 15th of October. It's now been delayed to the 25th of October. It's not quite ready. We don't know exactly why, but it is going to be open from the 25th of October. So if you are going to be over there for Halloween time, then you are still going to get a chance to see those two. Right, more refurb stuff. It's very exciting. New stuff coming, I think, over at the Haunted Mansion.
You know what? I think Disney must have bought a job lot of these things, because they put them in everywhere. But construction walls have now gone up in parts of the Haunted Mansion. Q, as work begins on some big upgrades. Now, it'll be some addition of some interactive features believed to be similar to those done a few months ago. Secondly, the queue will be reworked so that wheelchairs can pass through the regular queue, which is a good idea. The queue is expected to be extended slightly into the graveyard area near to the water. The update has also called for the gravestones to be removed. Don't quite get why they're going to take some of them out. Is that because they're going to move the queue out?
I don't know. I'm sort of.
That's really bad, isn't it, to do that? Because there's people under there.
Mr. Toad's under there and everything.
You can't do that.
I'm kind of hoping that the gravestones aren't being removed permanently. I'm sort of hoping that it's just while they redo all the queue and everything. Because the thing is with those gravestones is there are so many nods there to all of the different Imagineers that were involved in it. So you've got the Leota one that was the newest one that was only just before you go through the service entrance on the left, which was for Leota Tombs. You've got the Yale Gracie one in there as well. You've got Mr. Toad one higher up on the other side, which is fine, but it'd be a shame to see if these disappeared completely. But what I do like is the fact that they're now making this queue accessible for those who are in wheelchairs, because obviously one of the things that Disney do so well is story and storyline and setting things up. But if you're in a wheelchair before, you had to go in through the exit and then get on the ride that way, which meant that you missed all of that storyline, you missed the stretching room and all those things as well. So they're now going to be able to incorporate people in wheelchairs through all of that as well. But I desperately hope that these gravestones are going to return. It will be a real shame to see them go, because they're one of the nice things about it. You know, dearly departed brother Dave, he met a bear inside a cave or something like that, I think it's some of the lines. But it's just, they're great.
I must admit, when we were in the queue together in the summer, you did have a bit of a geek out over reading some of them.
Yeah. And yeah, also the Madame Leota one, with her eyes that open and close every now and again. Yeah. And that people don't always notice it. And you point it out to somebody and they stand and watch it, and they watch it for ages, and then suddenly it happens and it freaks them out a little bit.
And then they cough, bothered.
And yeah, come to the something queue like that. Right. Moving into Epcot then. We're going to jump on the monorail and fly ourselves over to Epcot briefly. We told you that the opening hours will be changing for Epcot, and indeed they have. Future World is now going to be open from 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. But do not be fooled, because that does not mean the whole of Future World is going to be open until 9 p.m. A recently published Times guide shows that some of the attractions are still going to close at 7 p.m. as they did before. So what it really means is there's very little change, except that Future World is now going to close at 9 instead of 7, which means some of the stores and some of the restaurants are going to be open a little bit later. Although you will have Mission Space, etc., Test Track, those sort of rides, and Soarin' that were still open till 9 anyway, they're now officially saying that the closing early at 7 is Captain EO, the East and West Side of Interventions, Journey into Imagination with Figment, Living with the Land and Circle of Life, and Universe of Energy are all closing at 7. So the rest of the park is now going to be open until 9 o'clock, which doesn't leave a huge amount, doesn't really leave much more than was on before. But what it does now mean is that people aren't looking at World Showcase or Future World and saying, oh, it shuts at 7, we've got to get out of here quick. They're now actually saying, oh, it shuts at 9 except for these rides, which I think, although there's no change in the operating hours, it makes much more sense for those people who don't really know Disney World enough to have spent a long time looking at it.
Yeah, but why don't just keep it all open? Because people will be wanting to go in Innovations and some of All Thrills and those sorts of things, and it's just going to get confusing again that some's open and some's closed.
Yeah, see, Innovations, I'd have said, would have been great to have opened till 9, but I think it's the cost of opening, keeping cast members going. It's that idea that at that time of night, there probably aren't going to be many people who are going to go into Innovations, but there's not going to be enough people to keep everything going all of the time, and it means there's going to be a lot of cast members standing around not doing a lot. Although maybe it would have been nice to have kept one side open, or that maybe keep the segues going and other bits and pieces, but I suppose it then gets to the point of what does they open and what doesn't, and why does that one open and that one not, when you've got people sponsoring all the bits and pieces.
True, it all comes down to dosh, doesn't it?
It does, indeed.
Right, Candlelight Processional. We like to keep you up to date on who the narrators are, because they always seem to chop and change.
And we have this every single year.
We do. So we now have the latest, but it's the provisional Candlelight Professional narrator list for 2010. Corbin Bernstein, who I think was the guy from LA Law, wasn't he?
He may have been.
He was, and he's kind of got the kind of blondie, swept back hair. Okay. I think I remember him. Has been added in place of Frank Langella, and Ed Asner has been removed with no replacement yet listed, which is great, because I'd never heard of Ed Asner anyway. So I'm waiting for the phone call so I can do that. Again, American Gardens Theatre, 5 p.m, 6:45 p.m, and 8:15 p.m. for those of you that don't know. And I'll quickly go through the list so you can pick. November 26th to the 28th is Isabella Rossellini.
I know her.
November the 29th to December the 1st is Juzzy's favourite, which is TBD.
TBD.
December 2nd to 4th is Mr. L.A. Law, Corbin Bernstein. 5th and 6th, TBD comes back for round two. December 7th to 9th is Jodie Benson, who we all know.
Yep.
December 10th to 11th is the wonderful Whoopi Goldberg. December 12th to the 15th is Stephen Curtis Chapman. December 16th to 18th, Thomas Gibson. The 19th to the 21st is Trace Adkins. 22nd to 23rd is Brad Garrett. 24th to the 27th is Edward James Olmos. And 28th to 30th is Marley Martin and Jack Jason. So there you go.
Is it me, or is there a bit of a renaissance at the minute with some of the actresses who played princesses?
You've got Jodie
Benson's come back. She recently did, there was a transatlantic cruise that they did that went from the UK over to Florida. And Jodie Benson did a concert on it.
Yeah.
You've got Paige O'Hara, who's
Paige at the Disney Store.
In the UK, at the Disney Store, and she's doing a lot of tours at Disney Store as well. There just seems to be a real renaissance at the minute of the old princesses coming back. And Jodie Benson's obviously still doing things like Toy Story Mania, Toy Story 3 and things like that as well. So that'd be cool.
Yeah, defo. Actually, Paige might go in there. That'd be one to have, wouldn't it? There you go. She could be a TBD. She could do December 5th to 6th. I'll do the other one.
Okay, let's jump on a plane then and head over to Disneyland Paris, where we've got a little bit of Disneyland Paris news for you. Firstly, a bit of a public service announcement. Were you at Disneyland Paris between the 26th of September and the 4th of October? Because if you are, they are requesting that any guests who have eaten smoked or marinated salmon in one of the following restaurants, which I'll read in a second, you need to contact them on 0033 160 301091, or email them via dlp.guest.communication@disney.com. The restaurants are Cafe Mickey at Disney Village from the 29th of September to the 4th of October, Innoventions at the Disneyland Hotel on October 1st, or the Chicago Steakhouse at Disney Village on the 26th for their brunch. So any of those dates, if you have, we don't know exactly why, but if you have...
I wonder if those were the fish caught out the river that they've put in, and they were seeing if you like them or not. By pirates. What do you reckon?
It could be. Oh, dear me.
Well, I hope it's not linked to my bit of news, which is an accident at Disney Park. According to a news report released by the Associated Press and published by various international newspapers, including the world-renowned Orlando Sentinel, which you probably read on your iPad, a worker was severely injured in an accident in It's a Small World before the park opened in the early hours of Wednesday, October the 6th. Now, the resort decided to close the ride that Wednesday, but there's been no word of if it reopened on Thursday. Don't know. Now, Associated Press cites the local police as reporting that a 53-year-old man, employed not by the resort itself but by a subcontracting company, was pinned under one of the ride's boats in the canal when the ride was inadvertently turned on. The man was transported to the hospital by helicopter but died once he got to the hospital. The thoughts of the whole of DLP and the team go out to the family and friends of this man. Now, whilst at the time no further information about the cause of the accident is available, and the description published by AP indicates that the worker should not be the one was not the one who turned on the ride, as Mr. Bean in the canal, and he was trapped under one of the boats. I mean, this is dreadfully sad news, and not quite sure what happened. We haven't really got any more information than what Adam's got here, but. You know, awful that something can happen on what you think is such a timid ride, but it shows how powerful those boats are.
Yeah, certainly they do seem to be. You know, Disney are quite hot on their health procedures and safety and procedures, yeah, and things like that. And you know, it's sad that this has happened, but Disney have dealt with it in the best way that they possibly can. There we go. That's all the information there. Right, I've got two bits of news, actually. Another bit of news that's just come in, which I'll explain to you in a second. But details have been announced on the new Christmas season, an Enchanted Christmas at Disneyland Paris, from the 7th of November to January the 6th, 2011. Disney have announced more information about the upcoming Winter Festival, and many of the events will be happening along with a new experience. But the events returning this year are the following. Snow on Main Street, Santa Claus's Village in Frontierland, Belle's Christmas Village, the Tree Lighting Ceremony, Mickey's Winter Wonderland Show, the Fantillusion Parade, the Goofy Santa, the New Year's Fireworks, and It's a Small World Celebration. Now, on the last show, we said that we knew it was coming. We didn't know the exact dates, but we knew it would be coming, and that is the meet and greet with Rapunzel and Flynn Rider. And just as we said it was, starting the 7th of November, Rapunzel and Flynn Rider will be holding their meet and greets on the Castle Theatre stage, outdoor in the winter. Yeah, they're going to freeze. The grand opening will begin on the 17th, but the previews are going to be running for those first 10 days. So there you go. The Christmas season is lovely. I love the Christmas season. Is it Christmas normally when you go out, or is it something slightly different?
When do I go? No, I go at the end of January, so it's kind of all finished. It's just cold.
Right, okay.
Which actually I quite like, because, you know, we're used to walking around Florida and sweating our doodahs off, so it is actually quite nice to go around there in a coat it's daft. I feel more comfortable cold than I do hot, if that makes sense, because you know, you can warm up, but it's very easy when you're hot to be all sticky to feel kind of fresh again. So no, it's normally just cold and dark and expensive, you know. I still like it, but it's just cold, dark and expensive.
I love Christmas, I love Halloween. One little bit of news has just come in to let you know about. If you are a Tron fan, or you're a fan of Tron Legacy that's going to be coming out in December, there is some special screenings that are going to be happening, preview screenings, on the 28th of October. Now, let me explain this a little bit more. The tickets are coming on a first-come, first-served basis, and ticket holders will be treated to a 23-minute sneak peek of the film. Okay, that's what you get for your ticket.
23 minutes.
But you get 23-minute sneak peek of the film. Okay, what you need to do is the following. You go to www.disneyscreenings.com, and then you enter the promotional code of Legacy. Then once you've gone in, as long as you're registered for the Disney website, you can do that. If not, then what you can do is register yourself. And then at certain times on October the 28th, you can go and see the film. Let me just call out and let you know what the name of the screenings are. You've got View Bristol Cribbs, View Oxford, View Plymouth, View Leeds. Then the Odeons, you've got Greenwich, Wimbledon, Southampton, Cardiff, Gateshead, Norwich, Manchester, the Printworks, Liverpool. And then Cineworld, you've got Brighton, Cambridge, Nottingham, Sheffield, Edinburgh, Dublin. You've got IMAX London Waterloo, which is already gone. You've got IMAX Birmingham, Leicester Square, the Glasgow Science Centre, and then you've got the Movie House in Belfast. They start ranging from 6:15 all the way up to 8:30, but you do literally get, that's it, 23-minute sneak peek. So if you live somewhere close, brilliant, you can go and see that. For me, there's not one quite close enough for me to warrant going out for a 23-minute sneak peek, though, unfortunately. What's the nearest one to you there, Craig?
God, do you know what? I don't think there are any of them that are near to me. Normally they do it at Tunbridge Wells, which isn't too far.
Not at all, is there?
No.
But if you are...
How annoying. 23 minutes. Wasn't it better when they did that the one we had? C Film First or something?
Yes, they did C Films First. They did that.
Princess and the Frog, didn't we?
Princess and the Frog.
That was terrific. The Karate Kid, I saw that.
But if you are a big Tron fan and you want to see 23 minutes of the film before it comes out on the 28th of October, then it's DisneyScreenings.com and then go and have a look.
Or YouTube.com the day after.
Code of Legacy. And watch the 23-minute sneak peek. There we go. That's all the news, Craig.
Hey, where you go? Woohoo!
Yeah, you'll have to do it because he's not here. Day three then, and Animal Kingdom. We decided to spend the day there. We've still not been to the Magic Kingdom, you notice. That is coming day four and five. But we headed over to Animal Kingdom. We decided to arrive there nice and early so we could avoid the queues and see as many animals as we could on Kilimanjaro Safari. So we arrived just literally a couple of minutes after 9 o'clock on the bus and headed straight into the park. Went straight over for Kilimanjaro Safaris, looked at the time and actually decided we'd ride Expedition Everest first. The queue was only 20 minutes, and it was exactly that. So we went over to Everest, and we took a ride on there, and then headed over to Kilimanjaro Safari a bit later, where the wait time was about 40 minutes. We got ourselves fast pass there. Really enjoyed the day that we had. Crowds were really, really light, which was good to see, and not too busy at all. Went off to Restaurantosaurus today for dinner and enjoyed a double bacon cheeseburger, which was excellent. Dining plan is working out very, very well so far. Because we have the free dining plan, the way it's working, we are actually saving ourselves a huge amount of money, and I hope to be able to bring you sort of the average or the overall saving that we got from the dining plan on a future episode. But we headed to Restaurantosaurus, we did Kilimanjaro, we did Dinosaur, we did Finding Nemo the Musical, we did pretty much all of the big attractions. The only one we didn't do was the Collie River Rapids. It was an 80-minute wait, and the Fast Pass had completely run out by the time we got ourselves around there. But we left the park around 3 o'clock-ish. And headed back to the hotel so Zoe could have a bit of a rest before we went out this evening for dinner. And I decided to head out. I went down to Downtown Disney and went and spent an hour or so in Disney Quest, just playing a few games and bits and pieces. I wandered around there, went to Ride Makers, first time I've been in there, fantastic store. Some really great American cars in there as well. A lot of very excited young boys in there creating their fantastic cars. And also went into D Street for the first time, which is just a Vinylmation heaven. If you want your Vinylmation stuff, D Street is definitely the place to head to and to go and check that out. I then made my way back on the boat. We have a fantastic boat transportation that takes us directly from Downtown Disney all the way to the Saratoga Springs boat dock. It takes about 5 minutes, and we enjoyed that. So I came all the way back and got myself ready to go out because this evening we have enjoyed a meal at Chico at Animal Kingdom Lodge. Took us about an hour and a half or so to get there. We took the boat across to Downtown Disney and then a bus from there to Animal Kingdom Lodge. We arrived and were told that tables for two were in short supply and that there would be a bit of a wait, but we were more than welcome to take a seat at the chef's table at the cooking place, the table they call the cooking place, which is where they make a lot of the appetizers and the flatbreads, those sort of things. So we jumped at the chance to go over there, and we sat for two and a half hours nearly for dinner this evening, and had some absolutely wonderful food, and conversation from the chefs was fantastic. We ordered a barbecue chicken flatbread to start, and then I had the pork, followed by a really great sort of, it was called the Malava cake dessert, which was gorgeous. But not only did we have the food that we ordered as part of a dining plan, but we were talking to one of the chefs, Rishen, who was talking through how they make some of the meals that they do, and he showed us this shredded beef pancake starter. He also showed us this sort of beetroot salad and sort of like what is almost a deep fried sausage in batter in a way. Was very tasted, very Indian inspired, and showed us how he plated all of those things up, expecting that he was just showing us how he did it, and he was talking us through the process, and he was going to take that over for a waitress to hand out. But no, he then passed it over the counter and said, there you go, enjoy that, give it a try and see what you think. Now, we've come out because we're on a trip for our anniversary, and it's our birthdays this year, so we're sort of bringing those in as well. And of course, we've let Disney know the fact that that is the case. So when we first arrived, my wife had the wine list. She opened it up to find inside a congratulations card signed by all of the waiting staff inside inside GECO. And then while we were sat there, the chefs who were cooking in the cooking place area that we were sat at then also took the card, and they all signed it as well. And we'd also had the extra food that had been given to us by the chefs to taste, to try. And we'd already had, bear in mind, a starter. We'd been given the second starter as well. So when our main came round, we'd already eaten quite a lot, and then our dessert as well, which was absolutely fantastic. But then we headed out of GECO and headed back down to Downtown Disney and jumped on a bus down to there. We had the opportunity just to go for a wander around Animal Kingdom Lodge just before we left. Went around to the pool. We were able to look at the lookout. Although it was dark, we could still make out some of the different animals, certainly the giraffes that were there. And then headed to Downtown Disney and jumped on a bus back to Saratoga Springs. And you can probably hear my voice that I'm very, very tired because it is quite late. I've had a very, very busy day. So I'm going to head to bed. I'm going to let you lock down with the rest of the show, because tomorrow we are heading off to the Magic Kingdom with breakfast before at Kona Cafe. So until then, I'll see you. One of the projects we've been working on for some time is that of the Destination Disney radio show. And I know if you're listening to this in the UK that the show isn't particularly at the best time for you. It happens from 11 p.m. till 12 midnight every single Friday night, with the Iron Orlando radio show coming from midnight to 1 a.m. And of course, we do the live show out there on Heartbeat Radio on 1410 a.m, of which people who are out in Florida, 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. isn't so bad. But for some of you who maybe don't get a chance to listen to some of the show that we do, so we decided that we were going to bring you a segment from the show so you can hear the sort of things that we do on Destination Disney. It's a little bit different to some of the stuff we do on the radio show. Firstly, it's more aimed towards people in America or those who are going to out there or currently out there vacationing. We sort of try to bring all the up-to-date information that's going on out there. But we also do something called the Red Box Conversation, which is where we ring the UK phone box in Epcot and just find out who happens to pick up the phone. So what we're going to play for you is the Red Box Conversation as heard on the last edition of the Destination Disney radio show.
Some emails coming up, but first, Adam, Red Box Conversation, right?
I think it's time. Okay, let's see if anybody picks up.
Disney's Epcot, how may I help you?
Hello, is this the red telephone box?
Yes, this is the red telephone box.
Excellent. Hello. You Hi. Are live on the radio on Destination Disney on Heartbeat Radio 1410 AM. How are you?
I'm doing great.
Who am I speaking to?
This is Daryl.
Can you tell me, what are you looking at right now?
I'm looking at another red box.
Another red box. Are you in the UK pavilion by any chance?
That would be right.
Excellent stuff. This would be very strange for you. You're speaking to an English man on an English telephone box in the middle of Epcot.
Uh-oh.
Are you there on vacation?
Yes, I am.
And who are you there with?
My girlfriend, Selena.
And you're having a fantastic time?
Oh, we're having a great time.
That's a silly thing to ask when you're in Disney, I suppose. Are you celebrating anything?
We are actually honorary volunteers. We volunteered to be here today.
Oh, wow.
We volunteered in Nashville to actually come here.
Oh, wow. So you did the volunteer program?
That's right.
And yes. What did you volunteer to do?
We volunteered for it's called Hands On Nashville. We volunteered for it's called Thrift Smart. They're kind of like a Good Samaritan store that people donate clothes to, and they raise money for books or whatever, and they raise money for third world countries for other things that they need.
That's fantastic. So, well done you for volunteering. What's the weather like today?
Very hot. I am burning up right now.
Is it busy?
It's actually kind of slow right now. It's not too bad.
Well, that's not too bad, I suppose. Are you planning on staying in Epcot for the rest of the day, or are you moving on?
Yes, we're going to be here most of the day.
Thank you very much for joining us. I shall leave you to enjoy the rest of your vacation.
Cool. Thank you. Have a great day there.
You too. Bye.
Bye.
So there you go, just a little bit of what we do on the Destination Disney Radio Show on a Friday. If you do want to hear that show, there are several ways that you can go and do that. You can, of course, listen live if you're out in Orlando, 14:10 a.m. Heartbeat Radio, between 6 and 7 p.m., and then the Iron Orlando Radio Show between 7 and 8 p.m. Or you can listen in the UK, that's between 11 and midnight, and then Iron Orlando midnight to 1 a.m. You can download the podcast of the show, Destination Disney Radio Show, find that on iTunes, as well as the Iron Orlando, which we've been doing is now the radio show that we release each week. You can also go over to the website, which is at www.destinationd.info. There's some stuff over there for that. You can also find out some more bits of information about all the guys that do the show. And there you go. That is our new project, our Destination Disney. So please do check that out. We look forward to hearing from you. Right, let's get on with the rest of this show then, shall we?
All the wonder and joy, the laughter and delight that is so much a part of our tradition here in Walt Disney World's Magic Kingdom. Come with us.
On episode 50 of the podcast, we spoke to Charles Cornell, who works with Disney on Ice, and we said that we were going to bring you some reviews and some information from the show. Well, I've had the chance to go and see the show, as has loads of people who tune in, loads of our listeners who have also sent in emails about their experience as well, and we've got voicemails as well. So what we're going to do is we're going to spend a little bit of time looking at the Disney on Ice show and looking at all those bits and pieces. But before we start doing that, I had the great privilege of having a look backstage, being taken on a tour backstage, which unfortunately I am not allowed to talk about. I sworn complete secrecy that I wouldn't give away any of the magic or any of the secrets, but I was also able to talk to some of the cast members, and there was a lady called Natalia Zatsiva, who is one of the principal skaters. Hello and welcome to this edition of the Disney Brit Podcast for Wednesday the 13th of October. Welcome once again. So what have we got for you on this show? Well, we've got our usual news and rumours, of which Craig and Juz are going to join me. We've got our Disney Daily Diary. We didn't put it in the last show, so we're going to put it in this show. We're then going to bring you a little bit of audio from our radio show that we're doing, let you know a little bit about that, the Destination Disney Radio Show we do on Heartbeat Radio. You join me backstage here at Disney on Ice in Nottingham, where I've had the great privilege of meeting some of the cast, some of the crew, and I'm currently sat with Natalia Zatsiva, who is one of the principal dancers for Disney on Ice. She plays some of the major roles. So welcome to the show, Natalia.
Hello, thank you.
Now, you've been skating professionally since about 1994, I think I managed to work it out as. And, you know, you worked with Moscow on Ice. You worked over at Cypress Gardens, I think, for a while as part of the stage show that they did in the park there. But then you've moved to work for Feld Entertainment. And you've been here for, I would think, around about 14 years now, working with Feld Entertainment, touring the world, which is brilliant. But what makes you want to keep skating for Feld Entertainment and for Disney? What's so special about working for the company?
Well, ice gives me wings and gives me so much freedom, and I do what I love. And, yeah, enjoy travel, enjoy skating.
You get to skate, which you love, and you get to tour the world, which is absolutely fantastic. So, obviously, the show that's here, 100 Years of Magic, hasn't been around forever. There's shows that have come before that, with you being with the company for such a long time. You must have done several different ice shows. So which Disney on Ice shows have you been involved in?
Yes, I did. I started with Hercules on Ice show, and then I played Snow White and Snow White show, and then I joined this show about 10 years ago.
So you've been doing this show for 10 years? Wow, okay, so the same show for 10... You've been doing the show for 10 years now. Does it not get boring?
No, it's not. Like, I've been changing partners, changing partners who I'm skating with. But it's depending on the audience, depending on the eye size, depending on the language.
Of course, because obviously touring the world, it comes through in different languages. Now, one of the main focuses of the Disney Company and of Feld Entertainment is this idea of providing family entertainment, something that somebody can come along to with their young children and provide these magical moments. They do it here, they do it in the theme parks, they do it with the films. Have you got a particular moment that you can think of throughout the years that was really magical for you as a performer?
Actually, yes. And when we traveled in the States, for the last 2 years we traveled in the States, and there was, like, by Baltimore area, we had a little kid named Josh, and he was autistic, and his mom and dad would buy tickets to every single show while we play in their area.
Okay.
And they would sit on the front row, and you could see how much he progressed. Like, he wouldn't look you in the eye. He wouldn't. Prince Josh, he called himself, and he was so, he got so much better, and you can see it.
Great. So a little boy who came obviously a lot and saw a lot of stuff. Now you've worked for Moscow on Ice. You've now worked for Disney on Ice. So you've seen different ways that people work, and you've seen the ways that that shows are put together. There's Holiday on Ice, I think, that also tours the UK. But it seems to be that Disney on Ice is the standout show, the one that everybody knows about. What is it that makes Disney on Ice stand out over every other ice show that tours the world?
Well, it's a family show, first of all. There's lots of stuff for everyone in the family. We have great skating, we have great pyro techniques, great lightning, we have Cinderella Castle transforming into the Wall of China. There's lots to see for every member of a family.
And I think that's the one thing. It really is that it's that brand, that Disney brand, that it really is for the whole family that makes it so good. Now, you've talked briefly about the fact that you've played several different characters now throughout the several different shows. So I think we've got Megara from Hercules. It was, I think, one of your first principal roles. Nala, which you do in this show. Snow White and Belle, which you also do in this show. But is there any particular character that you've not had the chance to play that you would absolutely love to do if you had the chance?
Well, I'm always on lookout for the new Disney movies, Disney cartoons, and I would love... I missed the full storyline show, so I would love to play any character for the whole show.
There wouldn't be one in particular that you would pick?
I love Little Mermaid.
Little Mermaid, okay, yeah, I like Little Mermaid. That would be a great one. Little Mermaid on Ice. That'd be an interesting combination. Now, obviously, with it being a Disney show, all of the characters that appear on ice are already created, and the costumes that they wear have already been created. And when things like Little Mermaid and Hercules and all these were made, the costumes that they created for those characters, they never considered, oh, we need to make sure that people can dance on ice in these costumes. It was never a consideration. So do the costumes ever cause... Is there ever any issues that you have where they have to maybe tailor the costumes or change the way you have to skate?
Yes, but we have to practice a lot in the costume. That's the main difference between competitive world and the professional world. In competitive world, you make your elements are making your program. For us, story is the most important story, and look. So we get the costume and we're working with it. Like Snow White cannot do lifts upside down, and like definitely they have to skate. And sometimes costumes are puffy, sometimes skirts are a little bit long, but we are going around and lots of practice.
Because I know certainly that there's different costumes that are maybe slightly harder than others. So as Belle or as Snow White, it's not so difficult in the fact that you're wearing a dress. But when we've got people like Buzz Lightyear, who is jumping and spinning with a headdress on, it's actually quite difficult. So they use the costumes and then tailor the dance to the costume. Is that right?
Yeah, well, in the beginning they would make a solo, but keeping in mind what you have to skate in. Okay. Yeah.
Well, we're obviously now just over an hour until your first show today. You've graciously taken the time to talk to me. But can you tell me, how do you prepare for the show each day? What are the set things that you need to do as you go through each and every show?
Well, usually, normally during the week, we'll have rehearsal with everybody, just clean up the numbers. And before each day, we would have principal eyes for half an hour just to warm up before the show. And we have warm up of the eyes, just to warm up lifts and everything. And
now, you tour the world, obviously, with a company. If new members of the company come in as the show moves around, because obviously it's not going to be the entire same cast for the past 10 years, how do you get those people involved? Do you have whole cast rehearsals, or do you bring in certain people to do different pieces?
Mm-hmm. Well, in the beginning of the tour, our tour, we would have rehearsals for, like, this tour particularly, we had rehearsals for 10 days, so we got new people in. But sometimes, like, it's a live show, accidents would happen, so somebody would have to replace someone, so we would have rehearsals there and then to fit person in. And we have line captains and assistant line captains there, the one who are teaching the show, teaching the steps, and making sure if somebody makes mistake in the show, they would correct you.
Well, I saw Princess Wishes last year that came, and there was one moment of which a cast member fell. It was at the back of the stage and was injured. The show continued, and they managed to get that cast member off seamlessly. It was absolutely brilliant, and care for that cast member was the first priority. So what happens in that instance? So if somebody's injured during the show, how do they solve that problem?
Well, depending how, like, how hard injury is, definitely, but... Yeah, it's a live show, and sometimes you're just trying to run things as smooth as we can, but there's always MTs on the side, and there's a first aid, so we are getting good taken care of.
Well, I think I've taken up enough of your time. You have an hour to get yourself prepared. As you said, you've got an hour's warm-up, so I guess that's going to start now. Thank you, Natalia, for joining me. I'm certainly going to be looking forward to seeing the show, and we'll let everybody know when they listen to the show how it goes. So thank you for joining me.
Thank you very much.
Well, there was Natalia. She was one of the principal skaters for Disney on Ice. She plays Belle, and she does a lot of the sort of duet dancing that goes on as part of that performance. And as I said, we've got some people who have been to see it as well as me. I'm going to give you my review of the show, which I'll give you in a little while. But we've got a voicemail and two emails we've had sent to us with regards to the event. First email we've had is from Craig Shaw. Very concise, just basically says, what an amazing spectacle of skill and brilliant choreography. 45 minutes each half wasn't enough. The costumes were perfect. All voices were as per the Disney film. It was amazing to understand the storyline of each film with just a short on ice performance. There's from Craig. And next for you, we have a voicemail.
Hi, this is Jan Stevenson here. Just thought I'd leave a wee message. I went to see the Disney 100 Years of Magic last night, Disney on Ice, in Belfast, Odyssey Arena. It blew me away, honestly. I highly recommend you actually go and see the show if it comes to your town. There's a bit where they do It's a Small World. My brother and I just sat there so happy because it just really reminded us of being in Walt Disney World. And obviously, couldn't go this year, several reasons, and we really missed the place. So actually seeing It's a Small World in Belfast just blew us away. But yes, definitely highly recommend it. It's probably the best Disney show I've ever seen, ever. But yes, highly recommend it. Okay, have a good day. Bye.
Thank you, Jen, for calling in and giving us your opinion. Certainly was appreciated by you, and glad to see that you enjoyed it, and hopefully you'll go back to more. We've got another email as well. This one is from Justine Welsh, and she says the following. I went to see Disney on Ice in Newcastle on the 8th of October at the 8 p.m. showing. I'm 19, and I didn't feel at all out of place with all the screaming kids around me, as I was just as giddy and as excited as them, but nothing could have prepared me for how utterly amazing the show was. It was 100 times better than what I ever expected to be. It was funny, entertaining, but most of all, really magical and moving. It was so nice to see some of the classics such as Pinocchio, the classical princesses and their princes, Lion King and Beauty and the Beast, but it all tied in great with the more modern classics like Finding Nemo, The Incredibles. Mickey and his friends were the cherry on top. They really would be no show at all without them, and they totally tied it all up in a spectacular package. The ice skaters are truly talented and made the stories they told with their performance come to life. It was well and truly hooked all the way through by their skills on the ice. My favourites were the classic princesses performance, the Lion King, and the Blue Fairy performance too. They took my breath away. It was super fun being able to sing along with the songs too. And as I looked around the odd time, children everywhere were doing the same, and even the odd parent. It's just such a good feeling to see how much joy and magic these skaters bring to the audience and carry on to keep Disney's amazing films and characters alive. I am so glad I went, as it was such a great experience that I'll never forget. And that's from Justine Welsh. Justine, thank you very much. Certainly, again, you know, you I think really encapsulated what this entire show is about. So what did I think of it? Obviously, I was given the opportunity to go. I went and I took my little boy with me, Harry, who's now 3.5. It's the first time we've ever taken him to see a Disney live show. And, well, I really enjoyed it. I thought it was a fantastic show. Really enjoyed. Now, if you don't want any sort of spoilers, then you probably want to just fast forward the podcast for the next 5 minutes or so, because I'm going to talk through the show and about the things that we saw as part of it and the setup and all those sort of bits and pieces. So just give you a couple of seconds just to fast forward. Right, that's all the time you're getting. So the show itself, it's set in an ice arena, as they always are. The backdrop is that of a castle that can change depending on the sort of scenes they're showing. It can change from being something from Beauty and the Beast to being a generic castle from Mickey and Minnie to becoming what becomes It's a Small World, which I'll explain in a little more detail. So there's two acts to the show. They are both about 45 minutes long. The first one includes the following stories. You get Aladdin, you get Finding Nemo, then Beauty and the Beast. You get like a classic Disney princess moment. You get Toy Story, and then it ends with It's a Small World. And then Act 2 starts with a Mickey Mouse Club March idea. Then Pinocchio, Mulan, The Incredibles, The Lion King, and then there's a big finale that comes right at the end. So we're going to go through each bit as we go. The costumes, I've got to say, are absolutely phenomenal. The costumes were just truly awesome with some of them. And the difficulty is, when they're ice dancers, you've got to try and mix the costumes so that you've got that they're able to dance in them, but also that they look authentic enough. And some of the skaters who have to dance in the show have to do it in full head costume and everything if they're playing part of the character. So the show starts off with Mickey and Minnie all out on stage or on the ice, and then Donald comes out on an ice sweeping machine, and he takes sort of that. They sort of set up the whole story, really. And that leads into Aladdin. Aladdin comes out and finds a lamp, he rubs the lamp, etc., as always. And brilliantly, out of the inside of the ice machine, pops out the genie. And that brings on some fantastic moments where you end up having sort of 30 or so genies all dancing together on stage. It's completely synchronized. Absolutely fantastic. It really is well worth seeing. But the nice thing about that is that they very, very cleverly then link that into the Finding Nemo, the way they do it. I'm not going to give away. You'll have to find out. But the costumes for Finding Nemo are absolutely stunning, and they capture the whole humour of Finding Nemo. They do quite a bit of the story where they, you know, obviously go in search of Nemo, they meet Bruce the shark, and they have the moment of which Dory cuts herself and the blood comes out and Bruce smells it. And then they have that whole chase sequence that fits together really well. But the costumes for that were absolutely fantastic. Then we got Mickey and Minnie come back, and they do this. They come out in their red outfit. Minnie's got a red dress on. Mickey's got his sort of black tux with a red almost waistcoat and top hat. And they do a whole segment to do with the rose, which links, of course, into Beauty and the Beast. It's really as part of the Beauty and the Beast that we get our very first sight of some paired dancing, when we get... you get Belle and the Beast to start off with. We see the whole story of Gaston, all of those bits and pieces. We see the transformation of the Beast into the Prince. And then we've got the Prince and Belle, who then do their paired skating that we are used to seeing as part of Disney on Ice. And works really, really well. It's really nice to see. We then move into the classic Disney sort of section of the show. This is really a way of getting a lot of the princesses in for me. For me, a little bit... this was a little bit like we have to shoehorn lots of princesses in. So what they do is they have Snow White and the Prince, they have Jasmine and Aladdin, you've got Prince Charming and Cinderella, you've obviously already got Belle and the Prince, Ariel and Prince Eric, and also Pocahontas and John Smith all come out, and they do a lot of paired skating, which is nice to see, but it does, for me, it felt a little bit like it was an opportunity to show off some of the princesses rather than it actually being a real part of the story. Then next on is Toy Story. It is part of the original Toy Story that they use, and they have a fantastic present that comes out with Buzz inside, and there's some skating that goes on, and the lines and part of the story from the film is all shown. It's all brought out with the Green Army Men as well, and it's really great, a really nice scene. Again, it keeps the humour of the film. It looks really, really good. And that then leads on to the finale of Act 1, which is It's a Small World. Now, what I loved about this whole It's a Small World idea is that when you ride the ride, you are sat on a boat and you are going past the scenes. Well, obviously, you're sat in a seat inside of this ice arena, so you're sat still and the ride almost goes past you instead. And it does become a bit like a parade. Absolutely fantastic idea the way they do it. They do a lot of the different countries in the use. It's a small world. They have some individual and duet dances from different places around the world. For me, they maybe could have shortened that slightly. There was maybe a few too many countries for it to be the same sort of thing that was going on over and over again. But the great bit about this is the castle actually turns, and you can see how all the elements of the castle turn around, and the clock, the face from the clock, ticks, and it becomes what you recognise as It's a Small World's facade from like Disneyland and Walt Disney World. It does look truly amazing, and it is a great end to the first act. And then, of course, right at the end, Mickey comes out in his balloon and he flies over the middle of the stage, and then he goes off at the end. So that's Act 1. Act 2 starts with a very classic old-style Mickey Mouse Clubhouse march. You've got Mickey in his band outfit. You've got Goofy with cymbals. I think Donald brings out a bass drum. Minnie's got her baton that she's twirling. But also, the nice, really nice element, this is a really geeky element, I suppose, they have skaters that come out in the old Mickey Mouse outfit, and they've got sort of Lonnie and all the original Mickey Mouse sort of club members in their outfits, which is amazing, which is absolutely fantastic to see. You then move on, we go on to Pinocchio, we have the Blue Fairy, we have Pinocchio come out, they have some really nice clown-style moments that come into that as well, which is fantastic. That then goes into Mulan. Again, you've got a little bit of Mulan skating on her own, and then that eventually becomes part of the pair skating after we've told the whole story. Because the one thing that does happen here is we have a lot of paired skating that goes on as part of the story, but they do tell the entire story almost with a lot of them. Sometimes maybe a little bit too much. Sometimes the story happens very, very quickly. Sometimes the story takes quite a while to tell, and there are times where maybe the story's just a little bit long. Mulan took quite a while to tell and maybe could have been told in a slightly shorter segment, although it was quite nice. And although Mushu, the face character, didn't come out, what did come out was a big dragon-style Chinese dragon, which had Mushu's face. The one thing I did forget to mention was that Pinocchio, there is a huge, and I mean huge, whale that comes out as part of the Pinocchio story. That's cool. That's really, really good. Really interesting to see. Now, so far, all of the elements as part of this I thought looked absolutely brilliant. But next we come on to the Incredibles. Now, with every other element of the show, I can understand how it can work on ice. But the problem with the Incredibles bit is I just don't quite understand why it was in there. They sort of, Edna comes out, Edna Mole, and she talks about all of the different characters. And then each character come out and they demonstrate their skills. And they demonstrate the skill of Dash by him skating really, really fast. They have obviously Mr. Incredible. They demonstrate the skill of the daughter, which I forget off the top of my head what her name is right this second. But she sort of, she's on stage, and then they make her disappear behind a curtain. So, and then we follow an empty spotlight round, and then she comes back out of the curtain. She reappears again. The mum with her stretchy arms. They basically the royal gets the back curtain. And they get hold of a pair of arms out the back of the stage, and they pull it out. But I really didn't think this worked. This incredible bit for me just wasn't right. It was an excuse to get in the Incredibles in, and I just didn't think they could get rid of it and it wouldn't make any difference to the show. I looked at it and I watched it and I don't understand why you've got this in here. But it's the only element of the show that I really watched and thought, yeah, maybe you need to work on that again. Lion King comes next. I think the Lion King bit was brilliant. I love the Lion King anyway, so for me it was great to see the characters out. They've got Pumbaa, they've got Timon, they've got the ice dancers again. Got the paired skating that's going on between Nala and Simba that's really nice. And then right at the very end, which is sort of like the finale, you've got all of the characters that come out. You've got Stitch in there, you've got all of the classic the Fab Five, you've got all the, everybody basically comes out for the finale, and they all skate around and say goodbye to everybody, etc. Really nice element to the show, really enjoy it. And it's a really, really nice show. If you've not booked tickets to see it, definitely go and see it. It's well worth going to see. Suitability for young people, because obviously a lot of people take it as a family. I found certainly with my little boy that he enjoyed the moments of which there were characters out on stage and there were those sort of not face characters, but more of the costume characters. And that he got a little bit bored when it got to just a bit of the paired skating. So the bit when the princesses all came out, because he's not a princess fan, obviously, he wasn't that interested, but obviously young girls would be. But there's just a few moments where I think, yeah, this maybe isn't quite aimed towards the really young children who can't sit still for too long. But generally, the show is excellent. It's really, really good for the whole family. Now, on to my biggest gripe, and this is my biggest gripe about the whole show, and the past few Disney on Ice shows I've seen has all been the same. Merchandise. They push merchandise quite a lot as you go into the arena, and all the way around the outside there's merchandise stalls that sell costumes, they sell plush, they sell food, and it is extortionately priced. For a Mickey Mouse cup, which has like ice, flavoured ice inside, £6, which is a massive amount. Bucket of popcorn, £7. Plush toys, £10. £15, and it really isn't cheap. You could spend a small fortune on some of these things, and that is, for me, the point of which I don't like Disney on Ice, for the fact that the merchandise is so expensive. I love the show, and I'll continue to go and see the shows, but the merchandise for me is just ridiculously priced. And, you know, there's a lot of people who, when they buy things, you can see. I've got a program, actually. I've got the program right in front of me now. I think that was either £6 or £8. It's a really nice program, but again, it's very, very expensive. And that's his big letdown. Disney on Ice I love, but his big letdown is, of course, the price of merchandise. But, you know, if you've not been to see it yet and you are going to see it, I hope you enjoy it. If you have been to see it and you haven't called in your voicemail, please do 012-128-8258. Or you can email us podcast@disneybrit.com and let us know what you thought of the show. So hope you enjoy it. Now, one other thing. If you are a DB23 member, which I know some of you listening to the show are, you have got some exclusive content not available on the podcast, because not only did we interview Natalia Zatsiva, but we also interviewed Dave Brown, the company manager, about how the show runs, how it all works, how it ties in with Disney. And you will find that interview is exclusively on your section of the forum. So if you go over to the forum right now, you go down to your DB23 section of the forum, you will find that interview for you to listen to as well. And if you are not a DB23 member yet, then you can still go over and sign up. Over on the forum, there's a link. There's also a link on the front of the DisneyBrit.com website page. You can go over there and you can sign up there, and you'll be able to access all of this content as well. As I said, if you're going to see Disney on Ice, I hope you enjoy it. That rounds up another edition of the show. Thank you once again for joining us. We'd like to thank our sponsor, Columbus Vacation Villas. You can find them at www.columbus-vacations.com. Go to them for all your vacation, villa and villa management needs. Thanks once again to Craig and Jez. If you're listening, come and join us next time. You've got no excuse, because you're going to be home. But make sure you email us your questions, comments and suggestions and your reviews for Disney on Ice to podcast@disneybrit.com. Make sure to check out our website, disneybrit.com, where we have loads of great stuff on there, including the link for you to go and become a member of our DB23 membership club. The club is still open. You can still register and get all of the things, all the benefits. There's some benefits coming up very soon that you probably don't want to miss out on. And £15 for the year. And if you're in the US, you can pay that, and that will convert to dollars as well. So thank you for those people who are already members, and for those of you who are going to become members. Check out our Facebook page and our Disney Brit fan page as well. You can go and find them on Facebook, of course, and you can friend up myself, Juz and Craig. Don't forget to leave us a review on iTunes. Thank you for those people who have continued to do that. It really is very, very helpful. And you can still find our new YouTube channel. You can search for Disney Brit Podcast on YouTube and you will find us there. And of course, as you heard in some of the show this week, you can tune in on Heartbeat Radio 1410 AM in Orlando, or www.heartbeatradiousa.com on a Friday evening. That's 6 to 8 p.m. EST and 11 p.m. to 1 a.m. UK time. That's for both the Destination Disney radio show and the Ion Orlando. You can find the website for that at destinationd.info, and you can also download those podcasts onto iTunes.
Check out, of course, our sister podcast, Iron Orlando, and continue to send in your emails recommending those people for the Knights of the Disney Brit Roundtable, those people that you have introduced you to the show, and we can put them on our roll call for our Knights of the Disney Brit Roundtable. Don't forget, there's our forum. If you've still not signed up for our forum, please do. Our forum home is www.ionorlando.com/forum. And, well, that's it. And that leaves me with nothing else to say other than the next show will be released on Wednesday, the 27th of October. So until then, I'll see you.